Laura Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music. What is DOG? Dinner on the grounds. As soon as the crops are canned, frozen, and laid by for the fall, communities in western North Carolina gather to sing shaped notes from the Christian Harmony Songbook. Zach Allen wrote in the introduction to the 2015 edition of the Christian Harmony, "I vividly recall that soft September Sunday afternoon nearly 30 years ago when I first heard the shape sung at Morning Star Methodist Church in Canton, North Carolina. It was Old Folks Day, and Quace Mathers had built 63 feet of tables under the oaks in front of the church. The good folks of Dutch Cove, morning services over, had, as if by some strange coincidence, brought exactly 63 feet of food to share. Later, with the eating all done and the food put away, they rang the church bell, and the old folks and young folks climbed into the choir loft to sing the shapes at Morning Star. Now, over 129 years since the first shape notes were sung in the Dutch Cove, singers still gather to heist a tune and enjoy the riches of a dinner on the grounds. The 63 feet of tables that Quay had made, which adjusted to the height of the churchyard, have been laid aside. Now, modern plastic tables are aligned under the oaks, and still, families spread a table for their folks who have returned for Homecoming Sunday, and for the singers from multiple states who have come to sing the shaped notes. The singers were invited to eat at the Smathers family end of the tables. Daddy said the singers were his special guest and he wanted to make sure they were well fed, remarked his daughter June Smathers Jolly. Folks were welcome to wander over to different families' tables to sample their offerings, and many always made their way over to our table to get Mama's chicken and dumplings. June remembers, Mama cooked for weeks to get ready for dinner on the grounds. She would freeze as much as she could ahead of time. I remember Daddy setting aside extra money months in advance in preparation for buying ingredients. Liz Mathershaw, another of Quay and Sue's daughters, remembers, several weeks before Old Folks Day, Daddy would put in an order at Smathers Market in Canton for the biggest and fattest stewing hen they could get from their suppliers. Mama was very picky about broth, and the stewing hen could make or break the dumplings. The fatter hens made a rich broth which had more flavor. I heard her fuss more than once about the Old Folks Day hen not being fat enough. There were two things that could ruin dumplings, if they were too dry and didn't absorb the broth, or if they didn't hang and fell apart in the pot as they cooked, making gravy, not dumplings. Daddy would check in with Mama during the cooking process, and I'll always remember him asking with a little trepidation, as if it were a weather report about an advancing storm, "Sue, are the dumplings hanging?" The ham was also her specialty, and we are still sworn to secrecy about how she made it so tender. We sisters had to keep straight faces as she would purposely mislead other women who asked how she made it just fall off the bone. She never told a lie about it, but she just made light of it and quickly changed the subject, Liz recalls. My mother, Sue Woody Smathers, my sisters, and several relatives were busy cutting pies, setting out gallons of tea, organizing the meat and veggies, and finding the perfect spot for the dumpling pot. There was a lot to be done in the half hour before the final hymn could be heard through the open church windows, and the crowd spilled out of the sanctuary onto the grounds. Mama was like a general on the battlefield, and it was as much her day as it was Daddy's. Sue had a special device called a stacker. The stacker was a collection of tins the size of cake tins that could be loaded with various items, stacked on top of each other with a clamp-type handle that kept the tins from toppling over. These were kept in the oven until they were ready to be transported to the church tables. The pans were filled mostly from the bounty of Sue's garden and included creamed corn, green beans, butter beans, and fried okra. She also had glazed sweet potatoes and that fall-off-the-bone ham. I can still see her platter of perfectly round slices of red, yellow, and orange tomatoes harvested from her garden, said June. And there were desserts. Mama made Boston cream pies, coconut pies, lemon pies, and chocolate pies. And Daddy's favorite, German chocolate cake. And surprisingly, you never saw Daddy eat at Old Folks Day. We kept some back for him to eat after the singing was over, recalls Liz. He had a saying, a full barrel won't make a racket. Therefore, he would not eat before the singing, as the most important thing to him was having a good singing. Uncle Charlie Meese never put much food on his plate. June asked him about this, and he replied, "Some folks live to eat, but I eat to live." Quay had taught workshops and singing schools all over the region. He built the singing back up when the older generations were dying out. According to Liz, these new singers came from far and wide. At one point, we had singers from Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., all over North and South Carolina, and Georgia. Quay would carry Sue's stacker to other singings in the region. One year, the handle came off the stacker and all the vegetables spilled into the back of his truck. When he came home that afternoon and told her what happened, Sue just sat down and cried. No wonder. In later years, as the girls got older, Liz said, "We were assigned the safe dishes that Mama could trust us with. I took home economics in high school, and my dish was called au gratin meatloaf. But Mama couldn't say it and called it all rotten meatloaf. I remember one of my chores was making the orange jello salad," said June. "I had to grate carrots from our garden, cut cream cheese into cubes, drain a can of crushed pineapple, add some coconut and pecans, then mix it into orange jello. It was a popular dish and not considered a dessert. It was a salad. Sister Cynthia was charged with the deviled eggs and the broccoli casserole, staples at a good church supper. The evening before Old Folks Day, June remembers going with her daddy down to the ice plant in Canton and buying big chunks of ice. June recalls, "It wasn't crushed back then, and I remember seeing it being lifted with huge tongs and lowered into an ice chest that Daddy had built." Sunday mornings were busy for everyone. Daddy and I would travel to Asheville to pick up his brother Vaughn, recalls June. He never did learn to drive. Uncle Vaughn had a beautiful treble voice. If his wife didn't come with him, she always sent date nut bread. Aunt Frieda would coordinate with Mama to bring her own casseroles and cakes, and Daddy's sister, Aunt Bonnie, would come over from Hendersonville early to help Mama. The Smathers' end of the table was truly a family affair. Over the years, the dinner on the grounds fair has adapted. Alongside platters of fried chicken, baked beans, chicken casseroles, ham biscuits, and banana pudding, now you can find quinoa, tabbouleh salad, riced cauliflower, and vegan and gluten-free options. But folks still hunt for the pot of chicken and dumplings just to make sure the dumplings are hanging. And ponder, what makes Sue Smathers' ham so tender?
Down the road he come to the turn, rocks in a road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down.
Road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.